W2DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
In a developing story, five people have been killed in a drive-by shooting near a synagogue in Jerusalem. This as an Israeli museum has set up a temporary memorial to victims of the Holocaust.
To mark International Holocaust Remembrance Day, Israel's Yad Vashem Museum installing the Book of Names exhibit at the UN headquarters in New York. The sculpture of a book standing 6.5 feet tall with folding pages 26 feet long contains the known names of Jews murdered by the Nazis and their collaborators during World War II. That's 4.8 million names. Names of Jews. The last pages left empty for the more than 1 million unnamed Jewish victims. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
In a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, Bed Bath & Beyond says it doesn't have enough money to pay its bills. This after the company warned earlier this month that it is considering bankruptcy. Dave Packer, ABC News.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Republicans in the U.S. Senate want spending cuts before they'll raise the debt ceiling. Senator Ron Johnson says they'll look at everything this year, including Social Security and Medicare. Johnson proposed these earned benefits be changed to discretionary spending rather than mandatory. Democrats calling out the GOP for trying to back out of their commitment to seniors and working Americans who've earned the benefits by paying into the system all of their working lives. A little positive news for Wisconsin's farmers. WPR reporting that after years of leading the nation and the number of farm bankruptcies, new federal data shows Wisconsin had 10 Chapter 12 bankruptcy cases filed before the end of September last year, down 72% from the same time in 2021 when there were 36 new cases. One possible reason for the decline, farmers got more money from the federal government for pandemic-related programs, but those programs are now ending. I'm Jane Matnair for Civic Media News.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much, I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Fox Valley, if you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station. Civic Media.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Could you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Friday afternoon, right before the weekend, by William Walter, across Civic Media here in Wisconsin, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. For Devil Radio 92.7 FM, The Shaw in Waukesha, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh Air Support, WGBW in Green Bay, Lake Aaron Amory, and News from the Center and Richland Center. Will, how you doing on this Friday afternoon?
You know, Luke, I know I said on Tuesday that my favorite Wednesday was a Tuesday, but I think my favorite Wednesday is actually a Friday.
That's fair. That's fair. I think this is the same setup as last week, to be honest. I think we did Tuesday, Friday 2 weeks in a row now.
I can work with that.
When you average it all out, you get a Wednesday, right? Come on. We get there through the averages.
I'm not sure that's how averaging days work, but I'll let you roll with it.
Did you see how the former guy decided to average the rounds of golf to declare himself the winner down in Florida of the senior whatever tournament was going on at his golf course?
Geez, no, I didn't, but now I'm going to have to because that sounds hilarious.
It's pretty comical. He missed the first round of 18, and so coming into the second and third rounds of the tournament, he just gave himself a handicap of 5 and then won the whole thing because he skipped that first round going to, I forget what event he was at. He missed it, and he wanted to be at the tournament, and so he gave himself a 5-stroke handicap, and then declared himself the victor of the tournament.
It's like gale force winds on the first day, so he's like, darn it, guys, I can't play today. I have this event, but I'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, it was the funeral for either Diamond or Silk. It was the Diamond and Silk funeral. One of those individuals, I forget who passed away.
I believe Diamond
passed away, and he didn't even know Silk. He said in the eulogy that he was like, I had never even met Silk, even though I believe he had, because he...
numerous times. Yeah. He has met both of them numerous times, yeah.
And so at that event, he was bemoaning the fact that he could not be at the golf tournament and then gave himself a 5-stroke handicap, which...
He was also complaining about how long the event was lasting. He was like, oh, they told me I'd only be here for a little bit.
And he missed the whole first round because of it. But, you know, I hear he cheats at golf no matter what. So even had he made the first round, he probably would have just said he wanted it, whatever. Folks, mm-hmm. get ready for some pre-weekend tangents here on Dueling Tangents. We got numerous headlines that we're going to get to about what's going on. Earlier in the week, we had the
State of the State address from Governor Tony Evers kicking off his second term. We'll dive into a couple of the proposals. The surplus is expanding. This news broke yesterday, right before we wrapped up the big show on Thursday. So we'll get a little bit more into the fact that this budget surplus for the state of Wisconsin is now going to be more than $7 billion. But Will, where I think we got to kind of start the show today is, now that we got a couple tangents in, just to warm us up, Wisconsin being in the national spotlight, and anytime the state gets some very important coverage in the New York Times, I think it's important to discuss. So, headline over at the New York Times, Will, is 2023's biggest, most unusual race centers on abortion and democracy. The election for a swing seat on Wisconsin's Supreme Court has huge policy stakes for the battleground state. Cash is pouring in, and some of the candidates have shed any pretense of judicial neutrality. To be fair, the New York Times, I don't know if they're always focused on us down here in Wisconsin, Will, but the longest running joke is pretty much that this is a nonpartisan race for the state Supreme Court. That's long been known to not really be the case. Each side kind of picks candidates, and it's pretty partisan when it all boils down to it.
But I mean, it's nonpartisan in name only, right?
Yes, exactly. Is that a Nino then, instead of a Republican in name only being a Rhino? Is it this nonpartisan in name only? It's a Nino.
Is that going to be the next, like, woke culture battle?
I have no idea. But what are your thoughts on this New York Times piece, Will? Pretty much letting the entire nation know that we've got a pretty important Supreme Court race here coming up in April.
Well, Luke, as you are very well aware, because you and I have been discussing this for months and months and months on end, this is the race. This race will determine the next two, possibly three decades in the state of Wisconsin, and not just for the obvious issues such as, you know, abortion, but one of the country's most aggressive partisan gerrymanders is right here in our home state of Wisconsin. Yeah. And if we want to have maps that are more reflective of our voting demographics, this race is going to kind of define who is drawing those maps. 10-year term, remember? So we are situated rather well if this race goes as it could for us, but if it doesn't, we're gonna be facing a very difficult next decade, to put it mildly.
A lot of the consequences here in Wisconsin tend to have 10-year ramifications. Like it's unnerving almost how many decisions last for a decade, and I think the gerrymandered maps have shown us how long that process can truly be. The fact that it could be 2031 before, if this race is lost, 2031 could be the next time that these egregiously gerrymandered maps could be addressed. It is pretty wild to think about, Will. That's 8 years from now.
2031.
And, yeah, and that is that would be the consequences of if this Supreme Court, the next time to address this Supreme Court seat would be 2033. Because, yes, it's a 10-year term. And that holds a lot of consequences for the state of Wisconsin with how long these timelines play out. It may feel like we jumped from the midterms right into this election cycle. In a lot of instances, we did. I acknowledge that. I think there's a lot of people out there that maybe don't want to acknowledge that, don't want to admit that it's pretty wild that so closely after a hard-fought midterm election and governor's race and down-ballot races across the state of Wisconsin that we're already presented with another statewide race. But the focus has got to be on this. And this piece from the New York Times does lay out a lot of the different ramifications that a 10-year term on this state Supreme Court could mean for Wisconsin. But it also, it bleeds over to issues in 2024 with the state's presidential. Like the list is almost endless, Will. So which one do you think of what they cover? Because they talk about the gerrymander, they talk about abortion rights, they talk about a lot of different aspects. Democracy here in Wisconsin. Which one do you think is the biggest issue that voters should be paying attention to when it comes to this race that is now just about 10 weeks away in April?
Well, one thing I got to point out, Luke, because you touched on it, is that protecting democracy is a 24/7, 365 day a year job, yeah. Right?
Like, and it's not as sexy as some other issues. Democracy, it's really easy to chant USA when you're watching a World Cup game or you're at a local sporting event or just being like, freedom, America, all those things. That's really easy to do. But actually protecting the bedrock of democracy, that's not as sexy of an issue, Will. And not everybody can necessarily see when there are attacks to erode our democracy, like meeting in private and signing fraudulent documents saying that really one candidate won the state's 10 presidential electors, but then just never being held accountable for that fraud. Like, those things that are happening behind the scenes, they're not getting as large of headlines as they should be, and so that's the reason why we talk about them here on Dueling Tangents. But democracy isn't necessarily the issue that fires up a lot of people to go to the polls.
I think people take it for granted, particularly young people, right? Like, this is all we've ever known. We just kind of assume, because we grew up in an atmosphere of the United States is the leader of the free world, we're the greatest country of all time, you know, it's so awesome living here, democracy, rah, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. But as you said, you got to be putting the work in at the ground level if you want to protect some of these rights that a lot of us, again, have kind of taken for granted. And we talk about the role that the Supreme Court has played, particularly in the past 3, 4, 5 years. Obviously, we know about the Republican drawn maps, but additionally, the court has ruled that most drop boxes for absentee ballots are illegal. They struck down Tony Evers' pandemic mitigation efforts, stripped regulatory powers from the state school superintendent, allowed political appointees of Scott Walker to remain in office long past the expiration of their terms. Fred Breen, who has been covered on this show previously. That is a story we have touched on numerous times.
No friend of the show here with Fred Prine. Like, no friend of the show. That's for sure.
So uncivilized.
as well as requiring public schools to pay for busing to parochial schools. Like, there is a lot of different policy issues that the Supreme Court has weighed in on. And one that I also think is really, really worth noting is that the court ruled in December 2020 with a 4-3 ruling. I believe it was, of course, Hagedorn who sided with the liberal justices to reject Donald Trump's campaign effort to invalidate 200,000 votes cast in Milwaukee and Dane County. That story is going to resonate with Democrats at the national level, particularly elected officials in Washington that might be concerned that a more conservative court would reach the opposite conclusion sometime in the future, perhaps in the 2024 election, and all of a sudden the fraudulent elector scheme comes to fruition, and we have a true constitutional crisis.
And that time, that scheme works. That is the scary part, when accountability is not had in those fraudulent elector cases.
It becomes a test run, a trial run.
Exactly. It is a dress rehearsal for attempting to do it again. And it is going to be painted. We're already seeing some of the conservative commentators in this piece over the New York Times referencing, the stripping away, the not acting like this is as nonpartisan as I would love for it to be. I wish we could have some nonpartisan judicial races. But when conservatives are very, very open with who their candidate's going to be, I don't think that we can unilaterally disarm. So liberal-leaning or progressive-minded individuals have to back a candidate as well. And we're going to discuss that a little bit more on the other side of this commercial break. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by William Walter on this Friday afternoon. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. Let's get them in before the weekend begins. We'll be right back.
My fine guest.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes!
Yeah.
I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance of scattered snow showers. Daytime highs approaching 34. West winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight, lows level off around 13. Overcast skies tomorrow, chance for snow, highs level off around 17. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 29.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Dueling Tangents. I'm joined by William Walter on this Friday afternoon. I'm Luke Mathers, by the way. If you want to join the show, share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. You can also follow the show on Twitter, at Dueling Tangents. And Will, there's going to be a removal of the nonpartisan labels of this race. There is a primary election coming up in February. And there are four candidates running, two liberal-leaning candidates, two conservative-leaning candidates, and...
Leaning is doing a lot of work there, Luke.
I don't know. Four candidates.
But it's a nonpartisan race, so yeah. We're only... These are Ninos we're talking about here. We got to be very careful.
Yes, and so that's, in general, the painting the picture of the candidates in this race. And the fact that these candidates know that it is kind of a running joke that this is a nonpartisan race, they're kind of at least attempting to broadcast or signal where they would fall on these issues, because we know these issues are what could come before the state Supreme Court come the new court in June, I believe, when this justice will be seated. And so these candidates are signaling kind of where they stand. And conservative candidates, when a liberal candidate signals where they would, say, rule on the issue of gerrymandering, calling the maps rigged, as one of the candidates, Judge Protasewicz out of the Milwaukee area, called the maps that Wisconsin has rigged. And immediately the conservative justices were like, oh, they're trying to be judicial activists. Even though Dan Kelly sat on this Supreme Court in the past and was a part of an extremely activist conservative majority that would allow and handpick cases from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which is referenced in this New York Times piece. And so it's very interesting that when a liberal does it, the conservatives are just like, oh my gosh, they're activist judges. And then they have no problem themselves, though, just being super activist judges when they have the majority, which we've seen over the better part of the last decade as the court has held a conservative majority.
I got to drop the Wilhoit quote, Luke. Conservatism consists of exactly one proposition, to wit. There must be in-groups whom the law protects but does not bind, alongside out-groups whom the law binds but does not protect.
I wonder if that's on the wall over there at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Do you think they have that on like a plaque or something?
It's the tap the sign Simpsons meme whenever somebody's sitting around.
Don't make me tap the sign again.
Guys, should we be impartial here? and they look at the sign, they're like, a little tap, and they're like, oh, no, you're right. Good point. It's especially ironic from Dan Kelly, because let's not forget that just last year he participated in the election integrity tour that the Republican Party of Wisconsin sponsored as they went around the state trying to rally poll workers to their cause.
I'm still a little shocked that Michael Gableman hasn't used his name ID from running around on the wild goose chase that was the special counsel's investigation into voter fraud that never amounted to anything. That's just been swept away. Michael Gableman was right there trying to primary, like, in support of Robin Voss's primary opponent, and now everybody is just like, oh yeah, Michael Gableman. And he burned through $1.25 million on this chase of saying that there was impropriety in our elections without ever producing any evidence of those claims. And I truly thought that Michael Gableman was going to use that name ID to run for state Supreme Court again. And
I'm kind of surprised he didn't as well. Yeah, I'm
shocked. It's too bad, because I thought a five-way race would have been even more entertaining, Will, but that one did not come to be on the 2023 bill card. But it is very fascinating to me that when judicial activism is called out, if a liberal candidate running for this seat mentions anything, they're a judicial activist. But conservative members, previous members of the court, that Dan Kelly is like, yeah, I struck down the safer at home issues, or he played a role in one of the things, I believe, before leaving that term that he lost in 2020. I think right before he lost, he ruled on removing the safer at home mandates that the governor implemented in the state, like many other governors did around the country, to try to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And so Dan Kelly is fine pointing out the times when he was a judicial activist and handpicked those cases coming before the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, but now will decry.
You got to talk connections too, Luke. Remember that Dan Kelly was endorsed by Donald Trump, praised him numerous times at numerous different rallies, particularly the Milwaukee rally, where that famous image of him standing up on stage with massive Trump banners behind him, left and right. He also has the billionaire Uline family throwing money at him left and right. Obviously, the Ulines are, they're a friend of the show in the sense that we talk about them frequently, but that is no friend of ours. And then on the other side,
I would never say that they're a friend of the show. No, Liz and Dick, I do not think probably very, very much like what we discuss here on Dueling Tangents.
They give us great talking points, though, being so unabashedly anti-democracy.
Not talking points in the sense that we're echoing them, more of things that we can beat up on.
That we can laugh at.
Yes.
And then on the other side, you got Judge Doro's husband, Brian, who worked under Trump's Department of Homeland Security. You talk about the judicial activist and how conservative operatives love to rail on Democrats for saying, these are my beliefs, this is what I think should happen, which is kind of comparing your personal ideology to what you think should be represented on the court. And then they turn around and not only do they do the exact same thing, but they do it significantly more aggressively. Like, this is the type of projection that would put a high-end Sony, I don't even know the name of it, but some like super movie theater projector to shame, right?
Yeah. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Friday afternoon by William Walter. We're going to talk a little bit more about the fiscal state that the state of Wisconsin is in, thanks to a pretty good term, first term, by Governor Tony Evers, and some of the new secretaries he has when we get back.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The mother of Tyre Nichols calling for peaceful protests ahead of tonight's release of Memphis police body cam video showing the alleged beating of her son. The five officers now fired and charged with second-degree murder. Ravon Wells says she still can't watch the video.
I've never seen the video, but what I've heard is very horrific. Very horrific. And any of you who have children, please don't let them see it.
City leaders are also urging calm. Police video and audio recordings from the hammer attack on the husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi have been released. They show Paul Pelosi trying to wrestle a hammer away from the attacker before he struck on the head. The suspect, David DuPape, has pleaded not guilty to charges. Fierce fighting continues in eastern Ukraine a day after Russia carried out dozens of missile strikes targeting civilians. This is ABC News.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Stephen Avery's lawyers want a new trial again. Their client is serving life in prison for the killing of Teresa Halbach near Manitowoc in 2005. His lawyers say the state needs to reopen the case. They claim another relative was seen with Halbach's SUV near the time she was killed, and that needs a closer look. Avery's legal team has asked for new trials several times. Judges turn them down every time. It looks like somebody tried to send a package of drugs to the Green Bay police chief. Investigators say the package was intercepted at the post office on Tuesday before it could get to Chief Chris Davis. They say the package contained fentanyl, cocaine, and a letter. Police say they'd rather people drop off unwanted drugs at a drop box at the police department lobby. In sports, the Bucks are at Indiana tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Friday afternoon by William Walter. You're listening across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're up to here at Civic Media, head over to the website, civicmedia.us. You can see all the programs, the stations, station coverage map. You can find out about really cool things like what we did yesterday with the $1 million advertising giveaway. Those winners of the ad giveaway will be announced later next week. Really looking forward for all the small businesses across the state of Wisconsin that will have the ability to work with the Civic Media sales team here around the state and craft their message to send it out over our airwaves. And Will, You've downloaded the Civic Media app, right? You've got that.
Yes, sir.
You got that bad boy on your phone, right?
Of course.
There we go.
How else am I going to listen at the gym?
It's very easy to download as well. You can go and Apple, Google, either the App Store, Play Store, and download it. Have it on your phone. Take us with you wherever you go.
And hello, this is Aaron. I too have the Civic Media app because when I'm driving to Manitowoc,
there you go.
I go through so many different stations. Instead, I just put on the app.
That works as well, Aaron. And I did not acknowledge Aaron filling in for Evan on this Friday afternoon. Appreciate him working the ones and twos. Good to know, Aaron, that you've got it and use it for your commutes back and forth between here and Manitowoc. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents on this Friday afternoon, 844-967-2789. And Will, as I alluded to, we touched on it at the end of yesterday's show, but it's still always a little bit of a surprise. Every time we get an update that the state's surplus is growing more and more. And earlier this week, Republicans had the audacity to say, well, it was us that we're responsible for this great fiscal shape the state is in. But really, they haven't done a whole lot of legislating that at least I think they could use to take credit for this since, well, almost about this time last year, the first week of March. So what are your thoughts on the state now having a projected $7.1 billion in the state's coffers of projected surplus?
I was going to say, if tradition holds true at this point, we only got about two or three more weeks of Republicans in office before they take their very well-deserved 2023 break. Again, if anybody has any idea how I can find a job like that, please let me know, because that is a sweet, sweet gig. And it's exciting. It's really exciting to see good news like this. Usually we cover some of the more negative news stories that are coming out because that's what's important to talk about. But $7.1 billion surplus, billion with a B. Can you imagine what we can do with that kind of money from an infrastructure perspective? How we can give back to our communities? God, it's vital that we take advantage of this, because if it ends up just being a tax cut for the ultra rich, I'm sorry about that. My dog is crying a little bit.
That's
in the background.
Okay. Yeah,
it's all right, Sam.
We understand.
It's okay,
it is 2023. We understand. There's a lot of us, and I'm sure there's a lot in the listening audience, Will, that occasionally work from home, and the little ones, the critters, the children, anything like that in the background is totally fine. But I have a feeling that Republicans took their bet to say, we're gonna hold off on delivering any of this. Again, last year, the biggest issue the Republicans were decrying was inflation. It was something that they tried to say was the effect of government spending, the Democratic spending proposals. But really, inflation, as we've discussed on this show, was because corporations saw an opportunity to blame supply chain problems and the coming out of the worst pandemic in 100 years, a global pandemic, to go and jack up their prices. And
don't let a good crisis go to waste, right?
Right, and they saw that. And so, yes, inflation hit record highs for 40 years, but corporate profits were at 50-year highs. And so the corporations ran away and caused a lot of the increased prices that we saw, but in failing to actually deliver during an election year, Republicans refused to send any of the surplus back to Wisconsin families that were suffering from those high prices. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to gamble. We're going to hold off on this until we think we can get a Republican governor to sign off and give this historic surplus to our campaign contributors and the wealthiest Wisconsinites. And that bet did not pan out. Governor Evers won in a Wisconsin landslide by more than 3%. And now Republicans are going to be faced with coming up with a compromise that the Republican-led legislature and the Democratic governor can agree upon. But I have a feeling there are still going to be a lot of tax cuts. I just hope we get to see some investment
certainly.
In the state as well.
On something you touched on, Luke, that I think is incredibly noteworthy is the role that corporate price gouging has played in inflationary in the inflationary times we're seeing today, particularly with the price of eggs. I think that is the absolute perfect example because of the parallels to the supply chain disruption that COVID caused. Now, obviously, those who have been following the story are very well aware that the avian flu has spread throughout the United States and has hit numerous farms throughout the country. Millions and millions of infected chickens have been killed to prevent this spread. Now, Cal-Maine Foods, which is the largest egg producer in the entire country, controlling about 20% of the retail egg market, I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know how they managed to do this, but at their own financial disclosure reports stated that they have not had a single positive avian flu test on any of their farms across the entire nation, right? So their production has not been hampered. The egg production as a whole is, but this individual producer has not. Now, they have also reported quarterly sales up 110% over the same quarter in the prior fiscal year, and gross profits up more than 600%. 600%. Now, we have seen there have been a number of Farm Action, for example, which is a nonprofit focused on protecting consumers from aggressive and unethical practices from some of the largest producers in the country, wrote a letter to the U.S. government basically accusing Cal-Maine of an aggressive price gouging scheme that they are using the avian flu pandemic as a cover for. Of course, Cal-Maine said, no, the price of fuel is up, the price of feed is up, the price of everything is going up. But conceptually, profits should stay pretty similar.
Right.
If prices are going up,
right. if
costs increase, of your revenues would increase equally.
Exactly. If all of your costs were going up, you would not see a 600% rise in profit margins. And so it is very, very telling that these corporations, as you said, Will, are taking a crisis and trying to exploit it when it comes to the price, specifically here, as it goes to eggs. But it is very telling that is the case. Here in Wisconsin, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what comes of this budget surplus. But again, I don't think Republicans can take credit for this. It just doesn't make sense. As reading from a piece over at the Cap Times, the Legislative Financial Bureau analysis cited several factors that contributed to the $524 million difference, the most significant of which is the state's projected Medicaid fund surplus. So Republicans haven't done anything to increase or contribute to that. That was the American Rescue Plan passed by Democrats in Congress and signed by President Joe Biden that would have left any additional matching funds into that. And so the state is in excellent economic shape to be able to have the momentum and deliver results for Wisconsinites. But that momentum is going to be just completely kneecapped if this excess of state funds is just used to cover the gaps that tax cuts would further make for the wealthiest among us. If they come up with another, say, a manufacturers and agriculture tax credit that would hit some other sectors that gives those other sectors the 0.35% tax rate or whatever it is, the minuscule tax rate that allows individuals without proving job growth, without proving no better example than Ron Johnson's Family Foundation and his children using that manufacturing and agriculture's tax credit to not pay income tax on the Family Foundation. So there are loopholes that these Republicans create, former Governor Scott Walker signs off on, and then it allows us to not actually have the funds to invest and deliver, to be able to attract more workers to Wisconsin, which, again, if any legislative or executive proposal comes forward in the next 4 to 7 years before we hit 2030 that is not specifically working to address attracting more individuals to our workforce, Will, I don't think that proposal should go forward.
Because you're not thinking of the snowbirds, Luke. We got to win over those snowbirds. Everybody knows that's the key to long-term economic success.
The oldest people, just attract the oldest people you possibly can. The people that are retired that are contributing. I don't understand Robin Voss's obsession with the snowbirds. I really don't. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless he's, again, projecting, which Republicans like to do. And then maybe, fingers crossed, he's going to be retiring and be a little bit of a snowbird himself. But as you've pointed out as well, he could do that the way that they call legislative sessions here in the state of Wisconsin. He'll just fly down to one of the southern states, either Arizona or Florida, wherever the snowbirds fly off to, because he gets done with work in the first couple weeks of an even-yeared year. But
March to December, he spends down in Florida, but January, February, Wisconsin is his home as the elected leader that he is.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. If you want to share a tangent with us, you can at 844-967-2789. We got Larry in Sun Prairie calling in. Larry, what's on your mind today?
Oh, where should I start? I mean, they could have more money than that $7.1 billion if they, you know, they contract out to more so than any other state. And I'm talking engineering and roads and planning, and some of it goes to India, computer programming that they have to, you know, they're updating a lot of the computer stuff for zillions of dollars. And they're using outside sources, and that's where India comes in. You know, this whole thing in Richland Center, too, with they're closing the UW. Well, they got a lot of pushback on that. And what's the purpose of that? They're going to save more money, supposedly. But, and the people are having these town hall meetings. And what should we do? Well, I'll tell you what you should do. Start voting your interest. The guys that are making these decisions are you-know-whos. And, you know, it goes on and on. You know, the state is also, I'll tell you, I'm a retired public health person from the state. I was president of the State Engineers Union for many years. And when I retired, about 6 months later, they asked me if I would be willing to come back as a volunteer for hazmat. We do emergency response, and in fact, I just got a computer program upgrade of a program that's provided by the Department of Defense that they use for exercises and drills and radiological emergencies. It's emergency government, and you know, I'm thrilled to death that they still have confidence in me. But here's the deal: people were retiring, and now they don't have knowledgeable people filling those spots, and they're talking of doing that with teachers, trying to bring retired teachers back into the fold because they don't have enough teachers. And you know, you get the kind of government you vote for. And I don't know how people are being, you know, your shows advocate this all the time, that you know, and I think you started out saying, how can I get one of those good jobs? Like a legislator, where they
Will wants one of those jobs. I don't know.
I want that job, dude. 60 days of work a year, you're going to pay me $55K and give me government health benefits? Yes, sir.
Sorry, Larry, we're coming up here on a commercial. But yeah, it is. You get the government that you vote for, and that's part of what we're doing here at Civic Media, trying to educate more people about the kind of government that we're receiving. We'll continue the conversation. 844-967-2789. It's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. One more segment of the day. We'll be right back.
Missed your favorite.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
The The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to around 13 tonight under overcast skies. Winds out of the west, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 17. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow showers again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 9 above. Overcast skies. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 29.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
Hallelujah, it's Friday.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Friday by Will Walter. And Will, you know, I have a hard time watching some of the social media puts all of this, it levels it all. Everything becomes linear. You have social media feeds that put news stories talking about Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers, and then going all the way, all ranges of politics from here, as Larry alluded to in the previous segment, the closing of Richland Center's UW campus, or the debt ceiling, everything becomes very linear, and almost it's a leveling thing that it's hard to determine the scale and reach of some of these stories sometimes, because again, you're just it's constant flow, and so one of the things I try to do is we live in a time right now too where there needs to be accountability for many different things. Accountability is huge, and earlier today, as we were preparing for the show, I alluded to the fact that I don't like watching these videos for some of the things that come out that we know are horrendous. We know demand accountability, and we're going to see some accountability in some of these things. But a couple of them specifically today at the front of the mind with the attack of Paul Pelosi that took place last year, as well as a police brutality case down in Tennessee. And now I personally can't watch these videos. There's going to be one. You were telling me 6 p.m. is the anticipated release time of this?
Anticipated release 6 p.m. tonight of the Nichols video. And this one, I understand that people don't want to see it because it's grotesque. It's barbaric.
I can't watch these things. I honestly can't, because the video is like, I don't need video evidence to know something was bad. I know you alluded to as well. Sometimes you need the video to be able to prove that it happens. And I get
or
that
just
in court
to believe
cases.
It, Luke. I feel like for a lot of people, you have to see it to believe it. A lot of Americans have been saying for years and years and years, you know, this is going on. Police are behaving this way. This is unacceptable from someone whose role is supposed to be protecting and serving the community. And these type of videos give you concrete evidence that, yes, they are, in fact, doing this. And these stories are not blown out of proportion. We saw it particularly with, you know, a lot of the BLM protests in the summer of 2020. Oh, you know, what are you getting angry about? If police aren't here to protect us, who's going to do it? And the point of this was saying, like, no, police aren't doing that. A lot of times they are the ones perpetuating this violence in our communities. And I think this video, upon release tonight, might be kind of a tipping point in the sense that all five officers were fired immediately. They have been arrested for second degree murder. The police union has stayed out of the way. You know, usually they'll fight tooth and nail, no matter how gross the behavior of the officers were. I feel terrible for the city of Memphis that they're going to have to go through this because this was a member of their community who was forced into this barbaric situation and is no longer with us because of it. I feel terrible for his family. I feel terrible for his friends. It's sad that it's 2023 and we still have to deal with these type of situations. And, you know, even the Memphis Police Department came out yesterday and essentially said, like, this is going to be ugly. Please stay nonviolent. If they're admitting that the day before release, if businesses have been picking up on, I forgot what it's called, but it's essentially anti-riot insurance protection for if there's any damage due to public.
I'm not familiar with the exact name, but I know what you're referencing as well.
And, you know, we cannot speak too lightly on how important these type of situations are, in my opinion, for public understanding of why that these rallies and that these marches and that this movement has come to be is because of stories like this. And if you want to bury your head in the sand and pretend like it doesn't exist, not in my America, that's not the world I know, then you're purposely ignorant to the reality that millions of American citizens face on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and another reason I guess some people just need to see it, you know, like I'm avoiding, I don't like the graphic content regardless of that. Like I don't need to see a police brutality video to know that there is police brutality in our society. I don't need to see the attack of Paul Pelosi to know that the somewhat conspiracy, it is a conspiracy theory. The conspiracy theory that this was like Paul Pelosi's lover's quarrel and it went wrong and there was a hammer involved. Like that's a conspiracy theory. I don't need a video to prove to me that this was a breaking in of the Speaker of the House at the time, Nancy Pelosi's residence, and the assault of her husband. I don't need to watch the 30, 40, 50 second clip to know that the police
reports. I think that's what's so scary about that. I mean, it was like 15 seconds from the time the police opened the door.
The police were on the premise, yeah.
The hammer swing, yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't need to see those videos to know that, and I guess, I don't know if there's a gray area in there, because I'm just accepting the accounts of what the San Francisco PD had to say about this attack, or I guess I'm just not super, super gullible to believe that there's always a QAnon-esque conspiracy to explain away the right-wing violence that occurs, like in the Paul Pelosi attack, so... It is going to be an interesting weekend. I know that this video...
I got some eye bleach for you, Luke, if you're interested.
There.
Sammy wants to say hello because
Sammy's saying hello to the Dueling Tangents
audience.
Very
hungry.
Yes.
He usually gets his mid-afternoon snack at 3. I guess on this Friday he's saying, no, I want it at 2:30.
That's okay. That's okay.
Let's see the Republicans take that dog tax away because I will show him in front of the camera all day.
And Daisy appeared on the camera as well. So Remy did not get on film for the Dueling Tangents feed here on Devil Radio's Facebook page this week. But we'll have to see what we do about changing that. It means I'll have to broadcast from home one day next week.
You got to throw a little treat to the Facebook listeners now, yeah, especially on a Friday.
Absolutely. It is the weekend. If you missed any portion of this show, go over to civicmedia.us. You can check out the podcast there. You can also find the podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and the many, many more outlets that podcasts are now popping up these days. There's just more and more. Folks, we really appreciate you listening to the big show. We got Matt Flynn Direct coming up next, then the Devil's Advocates to follow him. Have a great weekend. Stay safe out there, folks, and we'll talk to you on Monday at 2.
Take it easy, party people.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
The food.